Blog Talk Radio.
Our communities have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say, it's nation time. You don't say that no more. Because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. Tonight, we have a panel discussion of our Time to Leave members, and we want to invite you to join in on a panel discussion with your questions, your observations, particularly having to do with our subject for tonight. What has this past Savior's Day celebration inspired you to do? If you've been inspired to change your norm or to have a new goal or make new plans, we want to hear about it. And then particularly how it has affected your views on separating into your own community or controlling the community that you live in. So we're going to get right into it. I see our Time to Leave founder, Dr. Ridgely, is on the line. We're going to open his mic. Assalamu alaikum, Dr. Ridgely.
Wa alaikum salam. Yes, sir. Well, I'm just finished dropping my workers off, and I'm headed back to the barn. And, you know, this Savior's Day was very for me. And it really started that Wednesday when the minister spoke, and the EC spoke to the believers, the executive council, and then the minister spoke. You know, he it's in a continuation of it was Savior's Day. I went up to Chicago. I hadn't planned on going up until I saw the minister that Wednesday night before Savior's Day. And then I really didn't decide to Friday to go up to be there Saturday. So I knew this was special, would be special. Anytime you get a chance to hear the minister, you know, live, you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got out of it for me, jokingly and seriously at the same time, called us dysfunctional revolutionaries. You know, we do things backwards, messed up. We talk and then don't do it, don't walk, you know. So but the enemy really can't keep up with us because we don't keep our word as bond. We say things, but then we don't follow through. But I felt that the Nation of Islam, I think that we're going to do better. I think we're going to follow through. I think we're going to give our leadership a chance to lead. And I think our leadership is some things that humble them to the where they are ready to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Minister Farrakhan is truly a servant for the people. And when he talks, you know, the world listens because he's the voice of God. And they know when he says something go happen. Most of the time when we say something, the only thing that we try to get to happen is some applause. But do we make things happen? Minister Farrakhan had told us when I asked him about doing the time to lead blog talk, he said, well, you know, you all can have your conference calls, blog talks, but Allah is going to force us to separate. And I think COVID-19 is those who are woke finally realize that we got to get out of here and do for ourselves because this man is trying to kill us. And he got us in a bad position. Bad position right now. You know, we on concrete, 40, 50 stories up. That's not a good place to be, like a bunch of rats. So it's time to leave. So
that's
what I got, that it's time to leave, and I believe that people now are seriously thinking about separation, not just lip dripping, but are seriously thinking about preparing to leave. So that's what I got out of Savior Street.
Yes,
plus,
sir.
I enjoyed our workshop. I found a lot of people in the Ministry of Agriculture are really doing things, making their word bond. So, you know, that was important as well.
Yeah, it was really impressive to see what the members in the Ministry of Agriculture are doing, but under their own motivation to see where they're moved to go in terms of gardening and farming and community activism and where their focus is with the staple goods program. So it was really good to see, and I'm glad that those who attended the virtual Savior's Day were able to see that. So Allah willing, we'll get some more members.
Well, you know, we had not talked about a whole lot. You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he was a farm boy before he moved to Detroit. He raised up on a farm. He's raised up. Now we talk about Deep Step, Sandersville, Georgia, but he was only there until 2 years old.
Wow.
Then they finally moved to Arkansas and then to Cordell, and from 4 years old until he left to go to Detroit. I think at 22, he was raising in Cordell, Georgia. And he worked at a lumber yard, he worked at a farm, he worked at a brickyard, then he finally got a job on the train, and then that's when he left Georgia, country boy. And so it's interesting that this farm is only 45 miles from Cordell, where he met Sister Clara, where he basically spent the majority of his young life and involved in farming. So for him to get this land that close, that can't be a coincidence.
Yes, sir.
It can't be a coincidence. you know. So, you know, I feel blessed to be walking in the footsteps of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, we do, on Founders Day, we do the footsteps of the messenger, but we had a chance to talk to people and do research and find the different places where the messenger went to school at, where he actually saw somebody hung at, where he saw somebody, white man showed them an ear, downtown Cordell of a black man, that, where he actually stayed at when he was on the run, when he was from the hypocrites for 7 years, 1935 to 1942. And he would come and meet Sister Clara. They would rendezvous in Cordell in secret. They were married, but he was running from hypocrites who wanted to kill him because he said that Master Rabb Muhammad was God, was Allah in person. And those people who thought they knew better, they wanted to kill Donald Elijah Muhammad. So he used to Sister Clara down in Cordell, because that was their home before he went to Detroit. So there's a lot here, and I'm just privileged to be working for the Nation of Islam. I ain't got to go out retired from a white man's job. I can go out as a worker.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Anybody else got anything to say out there?
Yes. Do we have any comments? Anybody who wants to share what inspired them for this past Savior's Day? Push the one on your dial. You will be in the queue, and I will open your mic so you can comment, ask questions, and we look forward to you joining the conversation.
Now, my truck ain't too loud, is it? I'm driving.
Actually, we can't tell you're driving. Hey, we got somebody who wants to join the conversation. Caller with the last four digits, 6239. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum, brother. My name is Brother Ghazi Muhammad. I'm calling from Villa Rica, Georgia.
Well,
so I'm
going to
tell you, I just called. I was watching Savior's Day, the Ministry of Agriculture presentation. And so I called Brother Terrence in Phoenix because I just moved here from Phoenix within the last 30 days. And we got a 25-acre farm. And we totally new to farming, but we got cows and some chickens all in the last 30 days. And so I just was talking to Terrence like 10 minutes ago. I said, man, I got to get in touch with Dr. Richley, bro. And I'm in Home Depot. He texted me, said, get on the call right now. Get on the call right now. All this just happened in the last 15 minutes. So I'm like, man, I got to go and get some games from Dr. Richley on how to grow food. And, you know, I mean, because it's totally new to my wife and I. But, you know, we do have some chickens, some cows. We're looking to get some goats, some maybe a few horses and things like that. But we also looking to grow food on several acres. Most of the land is cleared, and we have a lake on it with fish already in it.
Where's that?
It's in Villa Rica.
Where's that?
Out by Douglas. It's out here by Six Flags in Atlanta. It's probably 30 miles west of Atlanta, but we're 30 minutes west of Atlanta.
Okay. Oh, okay. So how did this come about? We hadn't heard anything. Okay, reason I ask that question is that, you know, brother, we don't have a lot of people who be telling us what they're doing on Time to Lead. Brother called me and said, why don't people be calling in and talking? So what motivated you, and how did this all come about?
So actually, my wife and I, we was in Arizona. We were living in the, you know, the suburbs, and I've been hearing the minister say get land for years, and I understood it conceptually, but I didn't understand the spiritual benefits of that. And so we was looking to get an RV and just travel the country for like a year. But then we listened to one of the Time and What Must Be Done. He was talking about land. We like, forget the RV, let's get some land. And so we got to looking for it, and we were really looking for just straight land, just a house with some land on it. But we talked to Brother Patrick here in Phoenix. He said, man, think about getting a farm, something that already have an infrastructure on it. So, you know, we kind of switched our search up and worked with a sister here, a realtor, MGT here in Atlanta. And Patrick and the sister found the land. I flew out here from Arizona, looked at it. I say, oh, this is it. Because it have an event center on the property. And my wife wanted to do weddings and things like that. And the land is completely fenced in. It's corralled off, like 16 horse stables and a lake and a guest house.
Wow.
And stuff. So, and we ain't been down there 30 days. And we just, someone killed six of my chickens. So I forgot to close the door and I didn't know. I come back, feathers was everywhere. I'm like, what happened to my chickens, man? You know? So. Now I'm just trying to get some game and connect with some other. I have met a lot of local black women here in around Atlanta.
Okay.
And I'm learning a lot from them. I'm just learning.
Have you met brother Patrick there outside of Atlanta? You met him?
Oh yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, I've been knowing Patrick 30 years. Patrick's the one that inspired me. Yeah. Yeah, I came to visit brother Patrick.
Well, you said Patrick. I thought you were talking about somebody in Phoenix.
Oh, no, sir.
No,
you're talking about the brother.
Oh, okay. Well, right. He's a man.
He's a man.
I mean, you got the right man right there. He's a man. Oh, praise due to Allah. That's great. That is so great. See, Brother Carlton, I told you, Brother Carlton.
I see.
Brother Carlton, is it worth us to continue to do time to leave? I mean, people don't be calling in. And I don't know. I mean, is it worth it? I said, listen, some people they be listening. And some people ain't going to tell you what they're going to do. They just go do it. And so we have seen a number of people who have done such. Yeah, just did it. You know, praise the due to Allah. That is so great. And I am so glad you hooked up with Brother Patrick because he really, really, really knows what he's doing. And he's a beautiful brother. And, you know, I go up there and sell watermelons sometimes. He set me up to sell watermelons not too far from his farm. So he's a great brother, man. Praise me.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your profession?
Speaking. I got into the motivational speaking world, tough, and I wrote a few books. And my wife and I, we do like life coaching.
Okay, so in other words, basically, live anywhere and still do that. And see, that's what I was trying to tell people that you got to have a steady income coming in because a lot of times, you know, people try to think they were going to farming and make money right off. It's going to take a while before you can set up to make money from farming, but you continue your income. But if you end up got independent income like you and your wife have, well, that's all praise due to Allah. That is great. So, and again, it's on the internet, so you don't have to be in a physical location to make your money. And now you got some roots somewhere, and you got a brother to help you. You know, that's beautiful. So now you do some talk. I asked all my questions. You do some talk.
Actually, I was gonna ask you: is there a way to come? Because I never visited the farm. I was always on the West Coast. Well, I was the first in St. Louis, Mile 28. Then I went to the West Coast. But is that, like, do you have, like, training and things on the farm?
Just once a year, we call it Founders Day, okay?
Okay.
It's July 4th weekend. However, we do make exceptions, especially for somebody who's actually got some land or is farming, okay? We make an exception for those because I ain't got no time. Let me tell you something. When I got down here, I needed, you know, equipment. I needed help. And so I'd ask the farmers, local farmers, you know, about how to do this, how to do that. Can I borrow the equipment? And when they see that you actually working, farming, they will take time with you. They will help you.
Right.
But if you ain't doing nothing, they ain't got no time for you. I ain't got no time for people who ain't doing nothing. Okay?
Yeah,
but you call me up. Call me up in advance, and we try to schedule up because it's like right now. I'm driving home from taking workers home. I have to go to Dawson, okay, which is like 10 miles away, pick them up in the morning, and then drop them off in the evening. And so I'm busy, and then all between there I'm busy so I don't have time for a whole lot of people. But go ahead, brother. But, yeah, we can work something out.
Yes, sir. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I would love to connect with it. It's crazy. I'm telling you a lot. God, I literally was talking time within the last 30 minutes. And that brother hit me back in 5 minutes. Said, man, get on this call right now. I just asked him. My last thing was, how do I get in touch with Dr. Ridge? I'm down there in Georgia. I want to get some game from the doctor. And he said, oh, come and send you the email address. And that was like 10 minutes later. I was on the call. I said, good God almighty.
Well, you know, this we're going to build a nation overnight. It's, the roots are being dug into the ground now. You know, we're going to pop up. When we pop up, it's going to be like, boom. The devil's going to say, what the hell? Where'd they come from? All right? So, you know, it's happening. You know what I mean? People like you are making it happen. Praise be to Allah.
Yeah. Well, thank you, brother, for your work and your example.
Yeah, you can take my number down. Nobody else don't call me. Just this brother right here. 229-364.
Okay,
229-364-3383.
3383. I got you, brother. Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, don't be calling me because I may be unleashed the track. Brother Carlton, tell him what it's like to be around me in the daytime, brother, at the farm. Tell him what it's like.
Well, if you want to call Doc and you're not calling for a good reason, it may not be a good move for you. You probably won't want to call him again.
Right. My kind of brother.
Ain't nothing but the truth. Because people don't understand that Brother Carlton, they don't understand, do they, Brother Carlton?
No, sir. I didn't understand until I started spending some time on the farm. I mean, it's amazing what you're exposed to. And, you know, I take my hat off. Is it Brother Godfrey? What's your name, brother?
No, Brother Ghazi Muhammad, G-H-A-Z-I.
Ghazi.
Okay. G-H-A-Z-I.
What does that mean?
The Conqueror.
The Conqueror, okay. Make it happen. Go ahead, Brother Carl.
Yes, sir. I was going to say, I'll take my hat off to you, Brother Ghazi, because, you know, you're endeavoring on something that's quite challenging, but it's nation building. It's foundational. You know, that's one of the reasons why I got in the Ministry of Agriculture when the first announced the ministries for the Million More Movement. You know, the motivation was high. And when I got back to my mosque, everybody was filling in all the positions in the different ministries, but nobody wanted to do agriculture. And, you know, I was looking at all the different ministries, and I was deciding which one I wanted to do. And I said, wait a minute, why would nobody do agriculture when it's, you know, the most important one, because we got to eat? So I said, well, you know, I can do technology, I can do science, I can do, you know, educational. But I said, let me go to the Ministry of Agriculture, because somebody has to do that. And I didn't know anything about agriculture. And so here I am, you know, 15, 20 years later, down at the farm.
and he just came to fix something that I a line that I busted to my well. I dragged a piece of equipment through the ground and tore up my line. He came and fixed that, and he just finished the flour mill. We got a little space between the flour mill and the packing shed. We had to put a cover on, so if you can walk between one building and another when it's raining. So anyway, he just did that. So, you know, I'm so glad that him and his wife, Sister Majita, you know, moved to the farm. They've been near the farm. They've been so helpful to us. And Brother Carlton is a jack of all trades, and he makes his living like that. And he's been able to make a living for himself down here. And that's what worries me. People say they want to farm and they want to come get some land and farm. Is that how are you going to make money? Because it's a while for you to find your niche, okay? You got to have some extra income coming in. Now, we're blessed because this is the nation's farm, and we have the three-year economic savings program that subsidizes our growth and development. And then now we have the stable goods project, but that took a while for the stable goods project to really get a foothold to where it's actually, you know, bringing in more money to help run the farm as well. But it takes a while. If you don't have a way to make a living, it can be taxing, you know, and you mess around and lose a whole lot. So I tell people, it's not, you know, people say, oh, one day farmers going to be rich. Well, that's true. One day farmers will be rich. But right now, it's a struggle. It's a struggle. So what are you going to specialize in, brother Ghazi?
Not to raise me. I have no idea. I'm brother. When I
no
say
idea.
It's 100% new to me, brother. I was calling the people like, man, what these cows eat? I'm gonna give them some Doritos or something. Man, I don't know nothing. Like,
brother,
it's been in the last two weeks.
You better
get the brother Patrick, man. And plus now, you know the great place to learn stuff at.
For YouTube.
YouTube.
Yeah, I'm there every day. Me and my wife, we be on there every day.
YouTube, yes, University. And as long as you got the right question, you can find information. The key is to have the right question. Be very specific about your question, and you'll find somebody to show you how to do everything. And we found the glow plugs. We had to replace the glow plugs on my 6400 John Deere, and it was a cost of a lot of money to get it done. You know, $125 an hour at the John Deere place. And so we looked at a YouTube video and saw how to do it, and
wow,
we did it ourselves. So,
wow.
I mean,
crazy.
But you can learn a lot off of YouTube. You got to have the right question, and then you got to, you know, you got to still think your way through it because everything is a little bit different. You know, you have it's going to be stuff. You know, we tell people the most important piece of equipment. You know the most important piece of equipment to have in farming?
What's that?
A brain.
Right. I like that.
You know, people like to think, you know, farmers are dumb. Ain't no dumb farmers, brothers. They already dead. Okay?
And man, I'm going to tell you,
already dead.
Dr. Ridley, you know, I was so green. I'll be 50 in May, but I literally never studied agriculture. And I mean, the first thing I came to a chicken was on some hot sauce and ketchup. That was it. Never been around live chickens, none of that kind of stuff. And I didn't even know that chickens lay eggs every day. So I go up in the coop and I get some eggs, and I come back the next day. I say, damn, where do the eggs come from? And they say, oh, they lay eggs every day. I say, I thought they had to get pregnant in 9 months. They dropped their load or something. I had no idea, brother. So now I got all these eggs, and people buying eggs from me now. I'm like, man, I didn't know none of this.
Well, yeah, every crop, every animal is completely different. You know, your cows could be different from the goats, different from chickens, you know, different from the sheep. I mean, everything is going to be a new thing, okay? And everything is different. And you have to. One thing about farming, you have to submit to nature, and you have to pray that God will give you understanding in terms of what is she telling you right now, talking about nature.
Right.
It's what you got to do. Time for you to do it. You got to do it. No matter what else you got going, you got to do that. Okay? It's time. You got to do it. All right? It's no questions asked. No questions. If you don't do it, no problem. You won't have a crop. Or your animal will go die, okay, if you don't do it, all right? You can have aquaponics, you know, you can have a fish. You can be growing them, you know, you grow commercial fish. You can grow the fish. And one night you didn't check the temperature, and your next day you go in, all your fish is dead. That's just how quick it can happen. So
Wow. You
have to, it's no joke. Okay, and Minister Farrakhan, he said that he didn't really appreciate farming until he got sick and he started staying at the farm in Michigan. And he was a city boy, city man. He said, but after he got in tune with nature, he just loved the farm. That's where he wants to be more than anything, at the farm. And so now he's a big advocate you know, of not just from the from what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught about the importance of agriculture, but by his own experience on the farm, he loves it. And of course, BJ, his daughter, is full-time farmer. So it's a change, you know, for city people. And then when they get into it, though, it's like second nature. It's like genetics kicks in.
Oh,
and after a while, it's going to kick in, and you're gonna pick up quick. You're going to pick stuff up quick.
And you're speaking so much truth, Dr. Risley. I think I did probably 8 or 9 videos, and I'm very transparent in my videos of what I don't know and how ignorant I was to so much about life and nature. And I said to the people, I say, man, like, this is really shifting my thinking, like, in a real way, and, like, spiritually. And now I start thinking about the Quran, and I'm looking at this cow. I'm like, why the guy named the longest chapter in the Quran a cow? So now I'm studying the cow. Like, what's up with this thing here? I'm looking at this cow differently now, you know? Like, you know, and then Brother Ilya Rashad, he contacted me about doing some bees, and I don't know nothing about bees. I want to get a bee suit and get some honey now. And now I'm just loving so much of it. And it's almost like I've been doing it for I wake up every day. My son and I get up every morning now and just go out and look forward to it. I look forward to it, like, from not knowing nothing to it a month ago. That's zero. Never been on a horse until I got here. I never went fishing before, so I got on my own land. And we got bass and crappie and bluegill. I never had a fishing pole before. Never did none of that.
Well, you know,
the first horse I
well,
was
you
on
know what does the Quran represent paradise?
Right, with land.
With
land. Under which
rivers flow. Rivers flow, right? In other words, a garden. Right. It's a garden. That's how. That's the best way you can describe paradise is a garden with rivers flowing beneath. That's it. So me, I'm in a big garden. You know what I mean? Well, the difference between a garden and a farm, though. The difference is a garden is just something you can enjoy. A farm is something you got to make money off of. Now, if you have 5 acres and you got to make money off, you have to make money off of it for you to eat, or then that's a farm. But if you have 50 acres and you don't really need it, it's a garden. It's a paradise. But when it becomes a business, then that's a farm, and then there's a lot of pressure. You can still enjoy it, but there's a lot of pressure, again, because nature is going to dictate to you what you need to do and when. And the weather, you're going to look at that weather every morning. You look at the weather channel then, okay? You got to see what the weather is, because that's going to determine what you're going to be able to do and what you're going to have to do.
Okay? Wow, that's deep.
Yeah.
See, I need to talk to you more, brother. I need to look at you. Brother Terrence told me you had a YouTube page. I mean, a Facebook page. So I'm going to go subscribe to that, because I need to hear what you said 4 or 5 things. I'm taking notes while you're talking, so I'm taking notes. I'm like, I need to hear all this kind of stuff.
Please. Well, thank you so much, Brother Ghazi.
Yes, sir. Thank you all. Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, yeah, well, you got to make, like, say the nation. Make it happen, brother. Make it happen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, big brother. And I'll be reaching out to you. God willing, I'd like to come. We'll be coming down there soon.
All right, but
we can work out on the land.
Turn around, don't drown. Don't come down here without calling me.
Oh, yeah, I won't.
Turn around, don't drown. I'll turn you around. I've done it before. I'll turn you around at the house.
Yes, sir.
Quick.
All right. Thank you, big brother. And thank you, Brother Carson.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Assalamualaikum.
Like,
all right. That was a,
okay,
that was
we
a
got
good call, Brother Carson.
Andrea. Bring on Sister Andrea into the conversation.
Yes, sir.
Assalamu alaikum, family.
Walaikum
salam, Sister Andrea.
Well, let me say what I have been inspired with. I mean, you know, my desire is to get down there. So I just got to get over these little loopholes and these things, but I really have been thinking about it, and I know that it is a process, and there are things strategically that must be done and approved. But Dr. Richie, Brother Carlson, I want to get the help, the letters, to do whatever needs to get and get the approval, because I would love to move and place some kind of structure, whether it be a container home and so on, that will belong to the nation, that whenever I decide I want to purchase some land, I can go, and that will be a structure that will be there for us, for our nation. So that's what I'm inspired to do. I want to come and move on the land and be there to help do the work. Maybe I will be the first person once we get, and I'm visualizing, we're going to get the approval to do this. I'm putting it out in the universe. Allah came to us in the person of Master Farad Muhammad. You know, he is able to do all things. So I'm putting it out there, and we're talking about building the community, and we have 1,500 acres, and I'm sure there's enough room for allow us to start that community right there on the farm, be able to get up. I'm still able-bodied. I'm still healthy. I can help do something on that farm. So that's what I'm inspired to do. That's where I am.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Well, we're waiting on that one. Make it happen.
Yes, sir.
Sister Ann needs some help down here. I need some help. She definitely needs some help. If we got to expand her kitchen and where she's doing with products, I mean, you know, she's doing a whole lot right now, but she needs some help. She needs some help. She needs some help.
Yes, sir.
Tula, assalamu alaikum. Okay. Anybody else want to call?
Actually, somebody just came on. Caller with the last four digits, 7769. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Happy Sabbath Day, every day. Happy Sabbath, all believe. How y'all doing today?
Fine. Happy Sabbath Day to you, sister.
Yes, right.
Good
I come
voice.
Down and help. If I come down and get to land, I come down and help Sister Ann. I will be down. I was down there. I guess left Monday night. I came back to St. Louis. I guess left from down there.
Where you was at?
I was in Atlanta, Georgia. I ain't get a chance to come up there where y'all at. I'll come back down here next year. Yeah.
Okay, you talking about I've been down there. You still up there. Atlanta's up there from here. You 3 hours from here. Atlanta's up there. You in the city. You ain't down there. You didn't come down here. That's the city you went to. You got to come down here in the country where we at.
That's right. I'll be down there. When I get to land, if I get the house, I will come down and help you. You know what I mean? I'll be glad you do it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so
that's
much.
That's all I want to say. You know, we all need to come together, love one another, help one another, work together,
right.
Get the garden, you know, make money and everything. That's what we need to do.
That's right. That's what
right.
we need to do.
That's right.
And we're looking forward to seeing you.
I thank for love for you. I thank for love for your wife and your family. I thank for love. My father, Muhammad came, taught us how to do it, you know, and learn your own,
yes, ma'am.
You know. Mhm. Yeah, because I
yes,
want to come
ma'am.
Down
thank
and see
you.
Y'all next year talking about the land. I need help, too. Yeah, I do need help. Mm-hmm.
Well, we got more people who are doing some things, so that you can take some lessons from some of the people who are doing some things. There's more people doing some things, and we're finding out more about them now. They was hiding in the bushes, but they're coming on out.
That's right. Everybody can come out of. They need to separate you. They can come all home, you
that's
know?
Right.
That's right.
They
that's
need
right.
to. Okay, I
that's
just
right.
want to say something. Thank you so much. Yeah?
Okay.
Thank you,
Dolores.
All right.
Assalamu
alaikum. Was a clown.
Yes, ma'am.
So you enjoyed that conversation with Brother Ghazi, huh, Dr. Richardson?
Well, you know, like I said, Brother Carlson, I was so happy for you, because you know, I know that it's been you know, every week you've been sticking with the program, you know, with the blog talk, and it didn't look like it was growing. And I can understand your frustration. But, I mean, I just felt that I knew what was going on. You know what I mean? That black folk, you know, they don't like to talk. Okay, if they're not going to do nothing, they don't want to talk about it because it makes them feel bad. Okay? And then if they're going to do something, they're going to do it. That's why I tell people when they say, Doc, you know, see them in the big city, they say, Doc, you know, I want to come to the farm. I say, you ain't coming. I said, what you mean? I said, you ain't coming. You said, I want to come. No, I'm sorry. They don't say that. That's right. You can back up. That was wrong. They say, Dr. Ridley, I got to come to the farm. I said, you ain't coming. I said, now when you tell me I want to come to the farm, then you'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. The black folks don't do what they got to do, but they will do whatever they want to do somehow or another. They'll do it. So as soon as people really want to separate, mm-hmm. they will. They know they got to. They know they should. They know they should leave. They know it's right. But, you know, they were tied to this. I mean, over the last 25, 30 years, you know, the enemy really got slick. He allowed us to have a piece of the pie. He allowed us to get some good jobs and buy some property, nice homes. But now those nice places are not as nice as they used to be. But yet you stuck with a mortgage that you got to pay for or just lose everything you put into it. And so that was a plan, the devil plan, a law plan. The law is the best of planners, but a lot of us got stuck with a mortgage, and now we can't leave. Or we got family members that we're responsible for. We got to help. You know, it's interesting that they'd be laughing at us, but it's the Muslims who are the stable ones in the family. Then everybody's depending on the Muslims. And so they feel obligated to help. And so that holds them back. So it's a lot of issues that hold us back from doing what we know we got to do. But until it becomes so heated, either the bad begins so bad or the good or the potential for the future, that's why we did that, the mathematics of making the decision, the mathematics of leaving, the mathematics of, what's that called it?
Movement.
Movement. The mathematics of movement. Look at it. Can't forget what I call my own invention. my own invention. I couldn't even remember it. You know, the mathematics of movement. Either you have a great desire that's going to make you move, or you have some heat, some fire that forces you to move. Between that, you know, you wishy-washy. But when you really, really got a fiery desire to move, or you got a fire in hell to move, you know, then you get the hell out of hell.
Like Brother Gazi.
But until that, yeah.
Like Brother Gazi, he had a strong desire.
He had a strong desire.
I like what he said. He said he was going to get a RV and tour the land. He's like, wait a minute. You know, I mean, I could get my own land and build a heaven for myself.
And look what happened to him. Just 30 days, but now he looks forward to getting up every morning. So he was going to tour America in his RV. So, yeah, you would have new experiences, you know what I mean? But you really be vicarious, you know, be a spectator, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now every morning he has a new experience, and he's not a spectator because it's right. He's responsible for those chickens.
Hmm.
See what I'm saying? And the cow, and then the crops he's going to grow. So everything is going to be an adventure, but it's going to be a responsibility, and it's going to be a fulfillment. Because Mr. Farrakhan said, the thing that's most fulfilling is for you to accomplish something great. Then that's most fulfilling. You know, it's not what you consume that makes you fulfilled, but when you accomplish something, that's great. Your accomplishment give you fulfillment and long-term joy, not just short-term gratification, but long-term joy, where you can look back. It's like me at the farm. When I look back on a road that I just plowed straight, you know, I'm laying out in the watermelon fields.
Okay.
I look back. And it's straight. That is so pleasing. You know what I mean? It's just so pleasing. I mean, everybody, what? Yeah. Because it's hard out here on this rough land to get the damn line straight. On this rough, hilly land, it's hard as clay, these boulders, you know what I mean? But to get a straight line from here to there, you know, like a quarter of a mile,
mm-hmm.
You know, that is quite fulfilling. So that's what keeps me going. It's the accomplishments. You know, it's like we did with the staple goods. We went through a lot to pull that off last year,
mm-hmm.
right? We had 18, end of 18, right? Then we had 18B, and then we had 19. And now we had 20. But that was a lot of work we put in. But when you look back on it, it's a great feeling of accomplishment. You know, so that makes it all worthwhile.
Right, right. Praise be to Allah.
Anybody else call?
Not at this time, brothers and sisters. We have 13 minutes left. If you are enjoying what you're hearing and you want to make a comment or you want to ask a question for Dr. Ridgely, press the 1 on your keypad. Press the 1 on your phone, and you will be in the queue, and we will open your mic, and you can participate in the discussion.
And, you know, we should have asked the brother Ghazi. So a month ago is, what's the date, Brother Carlton?
Today is the 25th.
Today is the 25th. So a month ago, so he moved before Savior's Day, then, right?
Yes.
Remember, the topic was you know, how does Savior's Day make you make a move? But he had already made his move before
right.
Savior's Day.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
He didn't know the topic. He was Brother Terrence advised him to call, and Brother Terrence
I wasn't doing any slight on that. I'm just trying to get to. I'm trying to understand people because we know we want to help people to make that transition to leave, right? So I'm just trying to understand how people make decisions and what motivated them. You know, what makes them you know, teeter and totter, and then all of a sudden, boom, they gone. You know what I mean? I know I used to, you know, that's how I operate. I'd be thinking about something for a long time, you know, and I don't be talking to people about it. I'd be thinking about it, and then all of a sudden, bam, I'm gone. And my wife said, what? I said, no, it's not something I just come up with. I've been thinking mm-hmm. about doing this, okay? But I didn't want to talk about it until I made up my mind, and then boom, I'm gone. We're doing.
And then a lot of it has to do with the timing. I mean, you could be thinking about something for years, and then something mm-hmm. happens. You get fired off a job, and like, or you know,
mm-hmm.
or you know, your the environment yep. you're living with is dangerous, or is no longer fulfilling, or
yep.
or the person you're with is not working out.
Yep.
And it's like, and you got to make
yep.
a move. You say, oh, okay, it's a good time to separate.
Ain't nothing like a good divorce. Ain't nothing like a good divorce to make you want to move. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing like a good divorce. You know, I said the reason people leave, you just look through the life history. First time people move is usually because they go to school.
Okay.
You know, they go to college. You know, and then when they get out of college, they get a job. Right? And then they get married. But sometimes they marry in place, but sometimes they marry cross country.
Mm-hmm.
But the next big move is divorce, and that really makes you really got to get the hell out of there. Then you got to go and start all over again. You got to get away, and so you know those are the main motivators, the push and pull to get people to move. But COVID-19, you know, it scared black folks to death. Until they woke up, and now the white man, the system, gave these preachers this free food to give out, tied to promoting the vaccine. Isn't that something?
Free food.
So, free food to, and then come get your free food and a shot. You know
wow.
what I mean? Come on now, you know. So it's interesting. The criterion was laid out July 4th. And now we see, we're finding out where everybody stands. No more hiding. People are making choices with their arm.
Mm-hmm.
Roll up that sleeve or leave. Some of us are trying to figure out how to leave, and others are just rolling up that sleeve. So we never thought that the judgment was going to be quite like this, but we're really in the middle of judgment. And so we pray a lot that we make the right decisions, and y'all come on home. Come on back down southeastern part of the United States. It seems like where the state's going to be, where the state's going to be. Look at where we owned land before.
Mm-hmm.
That should give you a hint. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said we're going back to take what we made.
Right.
Okay, we developed this, the South, you know, our blood, sweat, and tears. So that is ours for the taking. So we got to get it together and take it.
Right,
we're
right.
Not, you know, we're not going to do with guns, but we're going to buy it.
Yeah, that's what that's what our Latino brothers are doing. They flood them borders, and it don't look to me, Dr. Ridgely, I don't think nothing's going to stop them now.
They
flood them borders, and man, and they just coming.
And they got two serious things in their, you know, behavior that's good. That is, they've got a work ethic. They believe in work. And they know how to work together.
Right.
You know, 50-11 of them will live in a house. They got enough money if each one break out. But they put their money together. They buy one house, and then they save their money. Then they break out and get another house. That family move out. Yeah, they're taking over. They got a serious work ethic, and they know how to work together.
Yeah, I tell you, if America was wise, they'd welcome them with open arms, because they're not going to do nothing but help the country.
Well, you got two parts in that America. Number one, the rednecks who don't like nobody but white folks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you got the other people who want to do everything with robots because they don't like people. Period.
Okay.
Okay, you know, you got the rich, they don't like people, period. So they only want a few people around, just them and their boys. And if we can't make everybody else their slave, then they just want to kill them and just do everything with robots. So you got two sets mindset. One that don't like other than white, and another that don't like even white. They don't like nobody.
Wow.
So we are going to have to understand that we are not wanted here, because they don't want us, and they don't even want themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't even see themselves as white, as everybody white is white. They don't see that. All that they see is them and their family, okay, and the rest of the world. But it's them and their family and the rest against the rest of the world. They do not see themselves as a part of a whole. They see themselves as who the whole should serve and be tools for. This
wow.
is why white folks got so many lawyers. They know you can't trust one another. They know that they're going to rip you off. At every point, you got to check all the dots and T's, because you'll get ripped off. They know that they're devil. They know that. They don't like each other. They only get together to eat us. Other than that, they don't like each other. Okay? Remember, the people who will sit in America are the throwaways. These are the people who were threw away from Europe. They go over there and take the native land in America and take some slaves, and you build it up and you can be free.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they did.
Wow.
But they are not wanted by the quote unquote blue blood. Okay? The Queen sees herself above us in America, and even her people. These people do not have the same type of feelings that we have. You know, our problem is we got so much feelings for them that we don't have enough feelings for us.
It looks that way. Yes, sir. That's true.
You know, we in love with them. We want to fit in with them. You know, ain't nothing, you see a black person walking with a white person, it's like a a man walking with his puppy. They like a man walking with his puppy. They be panting, and they look and don't even see you. They with master. Don't even see you. It's like a dog. Unless you get too close to master, then they go bite. They go bark you. They gonna bite you. You know what I mean?
Man.
So it's unfortunate, but that's the way it is. But we thank Allah, who came to person Master Farah Muhammad, and all of Elijah Muhammad and Mrs. Farrakhan for giving us a way to survive.
That's right.
Is that Glory Gaynor?
Yes, sir.
It's a great show, brother. Praise be to Allah. We see y'all next week.
Yes, sir.
I should have made you leave your key. If I'd have known for just one second.